Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome. Welcome to my favorite time of the afternoon, getting to spend time with you, prescribing hope for healthy families. We need it. I need it. And in this week, as we're in September, we know that we are all immersed in back to school. Many of you have already gone back to school and you are in the swing of things. Many of you just started this week, maybe, or starting next week. If you are, then wow, I'm jealous. We start earlier in August when it's still really, really hot outside and it feels like summer. And my kids are saying, oh, it's so hard to do school when it feels like summer, but here we are. And it is Friday, as my kids say. And so if you've made it to the end of another week, especially a school week, whether it's your first or going down the row, you've already gotten some school behind your belt. Congratulations, we have made it together. And today I'm going to be talking a little bit about the habit for this week. If you've been following along, every week we've been adopting a new habit for healthy families, something to integrate into your family schedule. And if you can believe it, we are already at week 36 of this year. Can you believe it? And this week, what we're talking about is loving each life stage. Now, what in the world do I mean by that? Well, as we go through life, we have different stages of life and we can look back and have different seasons. We know this is biblical because we can look at Ecclesiastes 3:1, chapter 3, verse 1, that says, "For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." We have our own season of childhood, our own season of young adulthood, and then of middle adulthood, and then aging on. And sometimes, especially for us as parents, it can be easy to be wistful about prior seasons and think that was a better season, that was a sweeter season. Oh, my child actually liked me in that season. Maybe you're in that season on a struggle bus, but it's really important for us to love and embrace each life stage that God has given us and recognize that He has appointed a time for every matter under heaven. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. And we'll be talking a little bit about that today and how we can do that. And if we're looking at seasons and thinking about seasons of childhood as we're in the midst of back to school, I want to tell you that there are 6,574 days in the season of childhood. Now that may sound like a lot, or maybe you think that sounds like a little bit, but let's break it down. There are 6,574 bedtime tuck-ins from the time your child is born until the time they turn 18 and become an adult. That's about 2,340 school lunches. That is 65 days of spring break, 54 months of summer, 18 birthdays, 13 first days of school. But you know what's the most important number is one. One chance in a lifetime to be the best parent that you can be while those children are yours and under your roof. Now, in the early days, parenting is physically exhausting, and it can be so easy to just throw some of those times away or even resent some of those. If I'm being really honest, the words "tuck yourself in" or an exasperated "really" have been known to escape my lips at a nightly request for yet another glass of water. Dr. Seuss said, "Sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory." And I find myself cherishing those moments more in these twilight days for me. Two of my kids are in college now. I have two more in high school. And I find myself wanting to say yes as much as I possibly can. And know that one day you will miss those requests for a third cup of water or adjusting the covers or shutting the door at a different angle or getting another stuffed animal. I promise you will miss those. So remember that number. So we start 6,574. That's the number of days to cherish. before your kids grow up. And as they're growing up, we think about this back to school, the first day of school. And if I'm honest, every year, this is one of the days I most eagerly anticipate on social media. I really do intentionally go to my social media because I love seeing pictures of kids flood my feed. I love those nervous smiles. I love the freshly combed hair, the new lunchboxes, the welcome to kindergarten signs, parents looking proud and wistful at the same time, and hilarious photo bombs, epic photo fails. I have a few of those for sure, and I've learned to embrace them, by the way. I don't need that perfect photo. I've recognized that the imperfect photo is a perfect representation of my life stage at that time. I may or may not have some Christmas photos where one of my children, who shall remain nameless, the youngest, had on superhero socks and a really great Christmas picture. And when we sat down and his pants legs came up, there were those mismatching socks. But you know what? I love that. I love that because that is perfectly representative of that stage of parenting. And all of these are beautiful markers in time, which will pop up in our feed for years to come as wistful memories. Each one of those photos represents a year of possibility, a season of change, a moment of new beginnings. When we look at that first day of school photo and then the last day of school photo, we're going to see so much change. But you know what? When I look at those pictures every year, I think of all of the mamas and the daddies and the grandparents and the other caregivers who work so hard to make that day happen. Shopping for new school clothes after summer growth spurts or agonizing over each preteen decision on what accessories to wear. Resizing your kids' feet to get school shoes after a summer, maybe a bare feet and flip-flops, getting a backpack, a lunchbox, scheduling a haircut, or doing it at home, completing grocery shopping for school lunches, taking into account any applicable food allergies or preferences, going to orientations. In my case, that was for multiple children, while taking notes on each teacher's communication or discipline system, even if that's the teachers at home, if you're homeschooling, differences between mom and dad, maybe memorizing the carpool traffic flow chart, inventorying the required school supplies, filling out 14,000 different forms that all ask for the same basic information repeatedly. And I know I actually have memorized my husband's phone number because it used to be, "Hey Siri, call my husband." But now I actually have to know that phone number. But we take the kids for well child checkups, for vision tests. We think about, do they need glasses to see? We counsel them through pre-first day jitters. We give advice on how to make new friends while reconnecting with old ones. And we help evaluate and guide their elective choices, or learn how to buy a band instrument for the first time, or rent one, or borrow one, or all the required accessories. I mean, really, who knew about open-hold flutes? I did not know about that. I do now. Or maybe you're planning for a special first day breakfast, struggling through all the protests of, "Oh, mom, not another picture." All these things go into that one picture of a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed student just standing, usually on the porch, with a school lunchbox or a backpack. All of those things that I just said are seen in that one picture. I see it. I recognize it. And I salute you. And, you know, as we are just entering times that seem so uncertain, we thought maybe COVID was the worst, but it just seems like the world has continued to be so chaotic. And my feed is often flooded with frustration and confusion and desperation because we don't really know what is going to happen and where we're sending our kids, and are they safe, and are they going to be protected? Are they going to be nurtured? And, you know, even since COVID, I was a very strong proponent of kids going back to school or other in-person activities. And I did take some heat for it. And I recognize that there are some individual considerations, but we are still seeing a generation of kids who are impacted by COVID and who are impacted by the social and emotional injury of COVID. That is still happening, and we're still seeing the fallout of that. So to all the parents and caregivers out there, I want to give you some encouragement. First of all, give yourself a break. Your kid's life does not have to be perfect. Your kids do not care if they have a new specially created workstation. They don't care if they have monogrammed, freshly sharpened pencils. They don't care if they have a gourmet lunch. They would be so much more happy with encouraging words, a loving smile, and just spending time with them together in their journey. I encourage you to create memories in the chaos. Accept what you cannot change. Be kind to yourself and do what you can. Laughter is very good medicine, and find the funny in the imperfect. And second, many of you are not teachers. To all the teachers out there, I salute you. It truly is a magnificent art. But if you're a parent who feels like, I'm not a teacher, it is okay. If you can't teach Common Core math, which we all love to hate on, teach empathy, teach patience, teach self-forgiveness, teach perseverance. Eventually, you'll find someone who can help you catch up on all those academic skills. Your child is not going to be traumatized by not learning all their math facts by grade three, but they will be traumatized by not processing their emotions or their fears in a healthy way. So give and receive forgiveness freely. Say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. Let's try again. Know that you can't, if you don't teach those academic skills, it's so much more important to teach and model character. Next, I encourage you to practice gratitude. This is one of our healthy habits we have talked about, and research shows there are clear health benefits of this. It improves our interpersonal relationships. We actually can experience fewer aches and pains. We are happier. We have decreased symptoms of depression. We have more empathy. We reduce aggression. We improve self-esteem, and we enhance our mental strength. So maybe think of a way, if you haven't already done this, to integrate gratitude into your family rhythms, into your habits that your family has. That could be a little thank you jar with slips of paper where you put those in at dinner time or bedtime. Or maybe this is just practicing gratitude at dinner time when you're saying your prayers. When frustrations rise, count your blessings. The great thing about writing down some of these things that you're grateful for is that you can go back and read them later. Now, sometimes we have a jar in our house that we'll put those things in. And sometimes when it just feels like it's an overwhelming, discouraging day, then we'll go and pull some of those slips of paper out, and we can remember the things that we're grateful for. And one of my kids is really good at this. When I feel that frustration rising, he will come to me and tell me, Mom, take 3 deep breaths and tell me all the things you're grateful for. I may or may not have a good attitude about that, but if I look him in the eyes and he's, no, Mom, no, really, no, really, you really need to stop and do it. And so I will maybe look like a teenager, maybe, sigh deeply and cross my arms and stomp my foot a little. But by the time I'm on grateful thing number 3, I feel my blood pressure coming down. The last thing before we take a little break here, listen more than you talk. Help kids voice their feelings. Acknowledge frustration or grief or loss, even if you don't agree with it or understand it. Say empathetic things like, yeah, the internet is not working. You're frustrated. I understand. A listening ear and empathetic statements can go a long way. They don't need every problem fixed immediately. What they need is you to listen, give them a hug, reassure them things will be okay, and creating a safe space for that appropriate expression of feelings. And if you're not in a life stage with a kid at home, hey, reach out to those parents and caregivers who are. Drop off dinner, send an encouraging text, offer to help with homework, or donate a device to a kid who needs one. Reach out somehow. Donate to a backpack drive. There's so many things you can do. So to all the parents and teachers and grandparents and siblings out there supporting kids through going back to school, I'm praying for you. And we will get through this better together if we encourage each other and lift one another up. Well, when we come back, I'll talk about loving kids in the stage that they're in. We'll be right back. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
See my hands and look at my feet. It's okay if it's hard to believe. I have faith that you will do greater things. It's my time to go, but before I leave, go tell the world about me. For I was dead.
Welcome back, friends. That song is The Commission by Kane. And you know what? When we think about the Great Commission and our charge from the Lord to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ, that is our ultimate mission as a parent. And sometimes I think we get caught up in all of the just rush that is when we're going back and thinking about all the things that they need. And we look at it as pencils or shoes or lunch boxes or, you know, homeschool curriculum or whatever it is. But when we take a deep breath and recognize that we serve a God who is in control and that our main goal as a family is to share the love of God, to share salvation with our family, that makes everything else seem like it settles back down into the priority where it should be. Well, listen, it is Friday, or Fri-yay, as my kids say, and we are talking about going back to school, answering a bunch of questions that you have about going back to school. And I'm talking about this week's healthy habit, and that's embracing each life stage that you're in. This can be a really hard thing, especially if you have kids who are grown and out of the house. But here's the thing, especially when you're thinking about your kids, don't love a younger version of who your child used to be more than who they are becoming. That is so important. And you know what? Even if this is not your kids, even if this is your spouse who is growing continually and growing in their character and growing in their discipleship journey and growing in their walk with the Lord, don't love a past version of who they used to be more than who they are becoming. Have faith in who they are becoming. And I think, you know, when we look at all of these back to school pictures, it can be really easy to look at those, especially the younger kids, and just, they're just so cute, are they not? I mean, standing there missing their front teeth and holding their little school box and still having so much optimism about the world. Like, everybody just says, oh, they're so precious. They're so cute. And then when we start to see pictures of teenagers, a little more judgment can creep in. Like, the kids don't want to have their pictures taken, or there are memes that parents take about how glad they are that their kids are going back to school. Finally, we're free. Hallelujah. They're going back to school. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I see a lot of parodies and reels on that. And I want to talk for just a minute to those parents of teens. And if you're not a parent of a teen, you know a parent of a teen, and we can be sensitive, because those past first day of school memories really arrive with a wave of nostalgia. And if you're honest, you can see other parents posting photos of their younger kids and you just feel that twinge of jealousy or longing for a parenting stage long past, because gone are the days of big hair bows. But don't worry, don't despair, parents, because those of you moms who are sad about your daughters not wanting to wear bows anymore, they're coming back around. Look at that. I'm all of a sudden shopping with my college age girls for hair bows again. So sometimes God is good in that way. But gone are the days of excitement over a lunchbox, or even more sweet, those sticky-faced kisses, or joy at seeing you in the car line, or artwork that they carefully crafted just for you because the world revolves around them. And if we look back, their problems were simpler then. You were the hero of their story. They loved you. They loved themselves. And they loved life with you as the sun in their universe. And now you often maybe feel relegated to Pluto status, orbiting out there in the cold with apathetic debates about your relevance. Is it a planet or is it not? And wondering how in the world you got all of this distance between you. School prep now includes arguing about clothes or reassuring insecurities that just seem to hold your conversation hostage, or lectures about the importance of college preparation. Make sure your grades are good. You need some leadership. You need to do this. You need to do that. You may have intense directives not to take their picture for fear of mortal humiliation. We embarrass them just by breathing. You have constant pleading, get their face out of their phone, or agonizing emotion, examining a new outbreak of acne in the mirror, thinking it's the end of the world. And suddenly, the things that you found exhausting about little kid back to school seem appealing. And you wonder if you should feel guilty for not appreciating it more. You wonder if they miss you at all when they're at school and what happened during the first day that you'll never know about. And your heart just aches hoping someone was kind or offered friendship or spoke encouraging words. And you try your best, but no teen is going to come home and say, "Wow, Mom, Dad, I want you to know that you did a really good job preparing me for school today, and you helped me to fight all my insecurities in a healthy way. You're a great parent, and I'm so grateful for you." If you're waiting for that, it's never going to happen. And the main reason for that is actually scientific. It would be catastrophic if parents of 43 million teens simultaneously died of a heart attack and the end of civilization. I'm kidding. But parents of teens, take heart. In this beautifully challenging season, let them see you love their 13-year-old self as much as you loved their 5-year-old self. They need to see confidence in your eyes that you know and love not only who they used to be, but who they are becoming. Be authentic, be real, be you, share your emotions, but know that they need you more than you will ever know that they need you. So I encourage you, as you're seeing all of those pictures from years gone by come through your feed, instead of giving your kids messages like, "Oh, I loved that stage. Oh, you were so sweet. Oh, look how cute you were. Oh, look how this is." And I would encourage you to instead look at their character. Look at their character of how they are then and say, "Oh, I loved this stage of parenting. You were so curious then. I loved this stage of parenting. You were so creative. Oh, I loved this stage of your life. You were so funny. You just did things that were funny and that encouraged us." So I encourage you to really look at those things as you're looking at pictures, because it can be really hard to look at those pictures of little kids and think, "Oh, I wish that was still where I was," because that's not where you are, but that is okay. Now, moving on and looking at some of the kids who are going back to college, let's talk a little bit about that, because let me tell you, if you haven't done it yet, there is nothing that can prepare you for that. And if you want to, you can go back and listen to the episode I recorded that's recorded for you now on August 16th, where I talked with my daughter about some of those challenges, because that can be even harder. And True confession, looking back at it, sending my first off to college was really one of the hardest things I've ever done as a parent. I know that, you know, that's, there are so much harder things in life, but emotionally it's looking at these stages of parenting and thinking, is this really it? I wasn't ready to let it go. And part of it was, for me, a university had been completely out of reach. And for many reasons, truth be told, not only did I not apply, I never even thought to apply. I found a local community college 2 weeks after high school graduation. I was extremely insecure, and I spent my entire time there honestly trying to be invisible. I was terrified someone would see me and recognize what I felt, that I didn't belong and I wouldn't make it. And I almost didn't, honestly. But when my oldest graduated so much more wiser than me and headed off to college, I felt like an imposter. I felt painfully ill-equipped to prepare her. And maybe some of you feel like that too. Maybe your child is choosing something, a path that you didn't have, that you never did. Maybe they're going to college and you didn't, or maybe they're choosing a profession that you really feel like you don't know anything about, or maybe they're going on mission to another country you've never been to. Whatever that is, we know that God knows and that God sees and God cares. And as I arrived at parent orientation for college, which honestly, if you think about it, was a perfect term, parent orientation, because I needed to be oriented. I have never felt so disoriented in my life. My mind started going back through all of those pictures in my mind of newborn late night feedings and potty trainings and preschool parties and growth spurts and hurt feelings and new friend groups and crises of confidence, carpools, awards and ceremonies and a million other little things. I had made it through 13 first days of school, and now I found myself at this mythical crossroads in parenting, a threshold with a hand poised to turn the page to a new season, a new chapter, and I didn't know if I was ready. And one of the hard things for me was that my relationship with my mom was very strained in those years, and so I found myself projecting my own fears onto my daughter. I was secretly terrified. This is where everything would go off the rails. So I didn't get it all right. In fact, I did plenty wrong. I messed up. I freaked out when I should have calmly leaned in. I spoke when I should have listened. I pressed when I should have released. I sat back when I should have charged forward. I called too much. I asked too little. So give yourself grace and space to learn and to grow and to take time to let go of those seasons of life that are ending and look forward to the seasons of life that are beginning. But having looked at that, for especially for those of you who are parenting kids who are graduating, let me tell you some of the things that I learned in my lesson there. First of all, it's way harder than people tell you it is. Even when they tell you it's really, really hard. It's like standing still and smiling while someone just rips your heart out of your chest and you just say, oh, that's fine. Everything's fine. This is fine. It is so, so hard when you are parenting well. It's hard to let go. And thanks to the wisdom that comes from Pooh Bear and A.A. Milne, you are braver than you believe. You are stronger than you seem. You are smarter than you think. And you are loved more than you know. That is important to remember. But here's something really, really important. Listen up. Your kids at home need to know that the world doesn't fall apart when life is changing, when their sibling is gone, and that they are more than enough to give your life meaning and joy at home. This may be you in an empty nest season. And if that's the case, I'd encourage you to listen to the episode with Jim Burns where we're talking about this. But your kids, your spouse, they need to know that you're looking forward to this season, that you loved everything about the last season, but that you are there. Next, I would encourage you to allow space for everyone to adjust at their own pace, in their own space. Accept emotions as they come, because they will come. You may be laughing one minute, crying the next, and maybe laughing and crying in the same minute. just do the next right thing in that hour ahead. Sometimes it's in the 5 minutes ahead, rather than anticipating what ifs that are 3 weeks down the road. These are very big transitions that are best taken in little steps. And so sometimes you may think, oh, I would think with my husband, he doesn't even care. Like it just seems like life has just gone on. They're gone and he seems fine. And what I didn't realize is that he was not fine, but he was just processing things in a much different way than I was. And that's okay. Now, listen, you'll also waste too much time wondering what your kid is thinking. It's much more helpful and encouraging to manage and direct your own thoughts and a positive intention. Grace and peace follow your intent. If your intent is good, that will rise to the top. And so instead of thinking, what are they thinking and how should I plan my actions, just pray and ask God for wisdom. Ask him for the words to say. Ask him for the actions to complete. And then trust him and just follow through with your best intent. Now, I hate to tell you this, but you are going to mess up. It is inevitable. You will overstep. You will understep. You will ask too much. You will say too little, just like I did. You'll assume instead of assure. You will talk instead of listening. There is grace and restoration and humility, kindness, and compassion. A simple, I'm sorry for this. Will you please forgive me? That can go miles. But listen, there is so much joy in every stage, but especially for those of you who have kids who are growing up and launching. One of the things that you can celebrate is seeing the harvest of seeds planted nearly two decades ago. These are seeds you've been nurturing and watering and caring for nearly 20 years. That is unbelievable. And now you get to see the fruit of those. Now, your kids may not remember or may not have even been on this earth yet when you started planting the seeds to prepare your family for them. And so even whether it's your marriage and looking back over your marriage and how you've grown or your parenting, point out those rewards that you are now harvesting. It's so encouraging to see, you know, I prayed for this when you were 1 year old. Here's a prayer that I had in my journal that I prayed for you. And now I see God being faithful to answer that prayer. That can be so, so encouraging. Well, listen, when we come back, I'll answer some more back to school questions. One of the things I'm going to talk about is, are kids being safe at school and facing a lot of threats, being scared of school shootings or lockdown drills or other things that can come their way, technological traumas and all kinds of threats, and how do we find hope and prepare them for that? I'll be right back with more.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Street to the small town barber, everybody in a dark place.
Yeah.
Crying tears like a river runs. No umbrella and you're caught in the rain. Running low on faith, can I get an amen? This is for when life is coming at ya. Hands up, here's your anthem. If you're having a hard day, ain't no way you're giving up, 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 up. If you're dealing with heartbreak, ain't no way you're giving up, 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 up. Keep your head high,
doomsday news cycle spinning with all the negativity.
Yeah.
Don't forget you can shut it off. Try to catch your mind when it runs. Easier said than done. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
This is where when life is coming at you. Hands up. Here's your anthem.
Welcome back, friends. That is such a good message for us. That is Up by Taryn Wells. And yeah, don't give up. Don't give in. If you're feeling frustrated and overwhelmed, don't give up. Just look up, because we know that our help comes from the maker of heaven and the maker of earth. And I don't know what can be more encouraging than that. Listen, welcome back to Friday, Ask Dr. Nurse Mama Friday, where I'm answering some of your questions about back to school and how we can best prepare our kids. Now, whether they're going to public school or homeschool or private school or Christian school or college, whatever kind of school environment they're in, kids are kids and they're going to be facing different threats. We've also been talking about the importance of this week's healthy habit, which is loving and embracing every stage that you are in, whether that's stage of parenting or stage of life. And as our kids get older and they go back to school or start a new school year, it's easy to be wistful about those past stages. And, you know, sometimes we make mistakes and we're not our best and we say words that hurt when we're trying to say words that help. So I want to remind you that your kids really want a present parent more than they want a perfect parent. They want a parent who's just going to be there. I want you to really think about how you're emotionally and physically and mentally present in your family's life. Whatever stage your family is in, are you emotionally present? Are you in tune to their emotions? Do you respond to their emotions? Do you notice when someone's sad or when someone's happy? And do you celebrate with them or grieve with them? Are you emotionally present? Think about, are you mentally present? Are you listening to them when they come home to tell you about their day? Do you have your face in a screen? Are you really concentrating on what they're saying? Are they saying you're not listening and you're saying I am listening? Are you mentally present in their life? And are you physically present in their life? So especially if you have kids who go to school outside the home, when they come back, it's really important for them to have that physical connection with their parents. And so often we all go off and run and do our own things, or we text each other from different rooms. Make sure that you are having time where your family is together physically, whether that's together at the dinner table, sitting at the couch together. Make sure that you're emotionally, mentally, and physically present with your kids. Now, one of the most common questions I get is, how do I get my kid to tell me about their day? This is something that I definitely face. And, you know, really the universal dialogue that's heard every morning and every afternoon, and evening on school days, maybe when you get home from work or when they get home from school, the parent says, how was your day? Your kid says, fine, good. The parent says, what happened? Oh, you know, nothing much. The parent says, you have nothing else to share? And then you get a shoulder shrug, or, you know, why are you asking me all of these questions? So listen, try this. This is a really simple twist. Instead of saying, how was your day? Say, tell me all about your day. That's different. You can't just say, tell me all about your day. Fine. But we're so accustomed as a culture to say, how was your day? How are you doing? Fine. I'm good. How are you? It's just a simple pleasantry. But stopping to say, tell me about your day, is really important. But here's the thing. When you do that, timing is everything. Allow your kids some space to decompress when they come home from school, or your spouse some time to decompress when they come home from work. They may have been carrying all of the worries and cares of the day, and then as soon as they get into their safe space, they're going to let it all spill over. I know some of my kids have had a harder time than this than others, but when they go to school, they are quote unquote on all day, all the time. And that can be a lot of pressure for a kid. They feel like they're being watched all of the time, especially if you have kids in secondary school where phones are there. They may be afraid of being recorded all of the time. They're watching every word they say. They're trying not to get in trouble. They're worried people are looking at them and judging them, judging their clothes or their speech or their actions. And sometimes it can be really, really hard because as soon as they get in, you know, you see them smiling to their friends and then they get in the car and shut the door and it's like a personality transplant happens and they're ugly to you. They're angry. They are not kind. Let's just take a step back and recognize that many times we don't need to take that personally and in a backwards sort of way. You can take that as a compliment that they're seeing you as a safe space where they can finally breathe and just take a breath. And I know that when one of my sons was going to school, when he was first going to school and I picked him up on the first day, I asked him what he learned. And he said, I learned when the little hand is on the 10 and the big hand is on the 6, we finally get to go outside. That's all that he cared about. And so I recognize he just had a lot of pent up energy. He was not one who could sit for a long period of time. So when he got home, he needed to be able to run, to literally just run as far and as fast as he could to get that energy out. Every kid is a little bit different. So think about what is their timing. Allow them some space to decompress when they come home from school. Just if they're not ready to talk, then just say, hey, I'm so glad to see you. And make sure they know that you're so glad to have them home. Invite them, say, maybe this is the time to have screen time. Maybe this is the time for a snack. Maybe this is time just to decompress in their room. Give them some space to process the pressures of the day. Then try getting in the habit of telling your kids goodnight. This is another one of our healthy habits. So if you want them to talk to you about their day and you're not having good luck when they first come home from work or from school, go and tell them goodnight. If there's a chair or a bench in their room, then have a seat and invite them to tell you about their day then. If there's not a chair or a bench or some place to sit in their room, make a place to sit. If it's comfortable for them, ask them if you can sit on the edge of their bed. If you're not in the habit of saying goodnight, it might feel awkward or uncomfortable at first, especially if your kids are older, but just make a commitment to be consistent. And over time, they build trust in your concern and care, and they'll be likely to be more open to share, especially if they're older. But if your kids are young, get in the habit of this and just know that bedtime is a discipline that you're going to have to adopt, but it's such a valuable investment. Kids have had a little time to process their day. They're also sometimes not too keen on going to bed, but they can, if they tell you their day was fine, they might be more apt to read The War and Peace of their life at bedtime. So, you know, even for me now, that takes a long time, but I love those bedtime conversations. And lastly, if you are just one of those parents who feels frustrated and you're tired of trying because you keep asking and you keep trying for conversation and you're just told nothing and you get nowhere, know that you are not alone. Don't give up. Every effort that you put in there is a planting seed to be harvested in another season. Be confident that God will bless your efforts and that he who began a good work in you, in your child, will be faithful to complete it. And if we do not grow weary of doing good, we will harvest in due time. And so know that your parenting efforts are worth it. And if your child will talk to you, remember that no matter how it looks, they are still listening to every word that you say. So even if you're talking, use that opportunity wisely. Use your words wisely. Affirm your child. Nothing builds a bridge faster than sincere, specific affirmation that is delivered with gratitude. So if your child is feeling like, remember when you were 13? I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, for most of us listening, we're not going to look back and say, oh, what was the best season of our life? Oh, junior high. Yeah, that was the best season. Remember how you felt so unconfident. I don't even know if that's a word, but I'll use it as a word. You just felt awkward in your own skin, and you just feel like your body is growing faster than you know how to even walk or move it or be coordinated. Have some compassion in those times and just give some sincere, specific affirmation. Show them pictures of themselves and say, you know, that you loved their character and that you still see that character trait growing in them today. That is really, really important. Well, as I told you before the break, another question that I often get is, how do we deal with the fear-saturated culture that kids are going to school with? Now, I'll tell you, I'll never forget the day. It was March of 2023. I left my house really feeling afraid thinking about this topic. Now, you all know I'm a pediatric nurse practitioner, I'm a professor, I'm usually teaching, but every once in a while I get the privilege of teaching, of going to clinic and teaching and clinic and having clinical practice. And this particular morning, I laced up my sneakers, I put on my scrubs, and it's usually just so fun. I love being with the kids in clinic. I was going to a local high school. But as I watched my cheerful shoes cross the pavement, that morning, I was thinking of children at a Christian school in Nashville who had started their morning getting ready just like I had done, and then instead experienced a tragic shooting at their Christian school. And I thought of Uvalde and Santa Fe and so many others. We could name them all. Every life is precious. And I felt dread and anxiety and grief and fear. And that's when it hit me, thinking, this is what some of our kids are feeling every single day at a place where they should feel safe. Now, in addition to that, youth today face a lot of other risks at school. Even in homeschool or church youth group settings, some of the statistics that can scare us about that is 1 in 10 students report recently using a tobacco or nicotine product. So they're going to be encountered with that. As many as 92% of teens have tried alcoholic beverages. Nearly 60% of young people report initiating sexual relationships before they graduate from high school. And it seems like there are these new threats every day. Fears of fentanyl, of human trafficking, of newly developing technological traumas like nudifying apps that I've talked about here on the show. Those are apps, in case you missed it, that take everyday photos or videos of females and remove their clothing. We have cyberbullying, we have sexting, we have online pornography. I mean, these are all increasingly normative parts of school experience, and especially for kids who are going to school. You know, we used to have tornado drills when we were growing up, and now kids have lockdown drills that can be really traumatic. But listen, there is hope. How do we do this? How do we give our kids hope when we are feeling afraid ourselves? Well, more and more, for one thing, we do see Generation Z, those born between the late 1990s and early 2010s, they are adopting healthier attitudes about risk-taking. We also see that alcohol use in young people is actually declining. We're seeing things like sober vacations and dry tripping, where teens and young people are not wanting to drink alcohol or use e-cigarettes or teen pregnancy. We see a generation ramping down social media power because they're rejecting influencer culture. That's all good. We also know that some of those tragedies that are so, so, so awful are not common, and that can be hard. But let's be challenged to speak words of life and encouragement, giving our kids the message that perhaps they were born for such a time as this, as in we read in Esther 4:14. Let's point to a God who never changes, a Savior who told us that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart and we can be of good cheer. We can support this generation and cheers them on. So the next time your child or any student shares discouragement with you or fear, try listening first and engaging them in conversation by asking these 4 questions. How are you feeling about this? How is this impacting you? What can I do to help you feel supported? What do you think you could do to make a positive difference? Engage in listening and questioning, and instead of leading with lecturing, but more than anything, join me in praying fervently for Gen Z and the emerging cohort of Gen Alpha, that the Lord would bless them and keep them and make his face shine on them and be gracious to them. May the Lord turn his face toward this generation and turn their hearts heavenward and grant them peace as they navigate this life God has gifted them. Intentionally engaging your children in meaningful conversation will go a long way in helping shape a biblical worldview and loving that stage of life that you're in. Well, friends, thanks for joining me again for another Friday. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and I'll see you again next time.